A reading from Job chapter 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from John chapters 15 and 16. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, 'A servant is not greater than his master.' If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, a servant is not greater than his master, and why should we think we're any exception? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, our Lord says, they will also persecute you. You can count on it. You can bet on it. If the world stood against our Lord, and if such vicious scorn and seething hatred fell upon him, despite his innocence, despite him doing no wrong, why should we not expect similar evil and similar suffering to fall upon us as those who follow after him? He is not just the Lord and master of us all, but he is the crucified and risen Lord and master of us all. Our master, who was hated and despised and rejected. And surely you, following after him, can expect to suffer the same for his name's sake along the way. Surely. It's only fitting, after all. Dear ones, his whole life and ministry, everything he says, everything he does along the way, all of it leads to the cross. It culminates there at Golgotha. His sublime preaching and teaching on the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, his glorious miracles and healings, and pouring out his life for the sake of many, even in the midst of his enemies. All these things finally lead to, they point to, his bloody passion and crucifixion, his rejection and persecution at the hands of evil men with real wickedness in their hearts. This is the path that our master took for us, a cruciform path, one ultimately of suffering and death, that we would not face eternal suffering and eternal death. He did this for us. By this path that he trod for us men and for our salvation, he shows us and leads us down the path he would have us take if we would truly follow after him. He shows us the way. He is the way as the crucified Lord. And before he's exalted in glory, he suffers at the hands of those set against him. And as it was for our master, so it is and will be now for us as his servants. A servant is not greater than his master, by no means. So how can we take up his glory without first taking up our cross, dear ones? How can this be? How can we share in his great honor if we refuse to suffer dishonor and all manner of evil for his name's sake? Let this be no strange thing to you, dear ones. Let it not be so. Let it be no surprise to you when, not if, but when, in the words of St. Peter, the fiery trial comes upon you to test you. Because in truth, it's not as though something strange and alien were happening to you when that happens, when that falls upon you. When you take up your cross and follow Jesus, there will come times that may well at first feel completely strange, completely alien, and disorienting, when wicked men set against you become so irrational in their sin, they'll act as though up is down, left is right, good is evil, and evil is good. The men of this world will despise you and ridicule you for doing what is objectively, truly good, according to the Word of God and the example of our Master. They will even think, in their delusion, that they are offering up sacrifice to God himself as they do this. They'll fancy themselves priests conducting holy liturgy and making a fragrant burnt offering to him, treating you not just as lowly servants and despised slaves, but also as innocent lambs to be slain, like sheep to be led out to slaughter. Rejoice, therefore, dear ones, insofar as you share in our Master's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when, not if, but when our Lord's glory is revealed, and revealed it will be very soon. Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good, the scriptures say. And may God grant that we endure faithfully along the way as his faithful servants and the sheep of his hand, and so come into the greatness of our Master, Jesus Christ, the suffering servant and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To whom be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.